Good morning, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And I hope you guys are being blessed. We've got great weather down here in Florida last week.
What do you mean, great weather? We got water moccasins and hurricanes, so we have no weather down here in Florida.
It's 72 degrees and clear blue skies and a light sea breeze.
Yes. Well, it's funny. I talked to somebody a while back ago, and they were coming down here for vacation with their family. They said, yeah, we're going to come down. We're going to go to the theme parks. We're coming down like the second week in August.
Ugh, rain and heat.
I said, do yourself a favor. Pack 2 to 3 t-shirts in your backpack that you're carrying on. I said, because by the time you get out of Orlando International and you get to where you're going, you're going to need a new t-shirt between the rain and the humidity and the 110 degrees.
No, it's August is not it. Now, but it's almost November now, so we're good.
It's almost November. It is. A lot of places are getting ready for snow.
Oh, I'm putting up Christmas decorations now.
Oh, I know. You always do that early. That's always.
Now, you guys are looking at me like, what are you talking about? Okay, look. We're going to play a show for you for Halloween.
Oh, boy. It's an intense show.
No.
And it's not visual, though, so don't worry about that. Yeah, it's audio only.
Well, I may have Michael Barrett put visual on that one. He can add it to it. He can put slides on it.
Yeah, he can.
All
you got to do is plug in, and you can have an AI generator put slides up on it.
I think we'll do the same thing with Angel Wars, and both of those need visual.
Angel Wars would be better at it. The Halloween one, I don't know what you want to put on that as far as visuals.
Well, I want people's attention. I was talking to a person the other day, and they were like, oh, Halloween's my favorite holiday.
Ew.
And I said, I said, I'm happy for you. I said, I don't practice at all. And then it was like, she goes, are you a Christian?
Well, yeah. Like, you know, when people say, I've had people say, they say it almost like a negative context, like, oh. Like, yeah, what are you?
No, and so it was one of those, I said, yeah, a matter of fact, I am a Christian. And the conversation went sideways. And
that fast?
Then it was a block and delete.
Were they an atheist?
I don't know what they are. I don't care.
not my problem.
Not my poop throw monkey, bud. And you guys like that metaphor, that analogy. I mean,
well, it's a circus metaphor.
Yeah.
But it kind of gets your attention. Like, that's not my issue.
Well, no, your problem. It's like, you know, I like the dancing kangaroo or the dancing hippopotamus, but nothing beats the poop throwing monkey.
No, because nobody
wants to be involved. Nobody wants it. You know, dancing hippo may be kind of fun, right? But not a poop throwing monkey. Everybody, flee
away from it. Well, you guys saw the product of the week, the Excellent C. I still have that up there. That's the powder.
Oh, the old website's still up.
Yes, I still have it up for everybody that actually still wanted it the last couple days. There's some 301 redirects were crossing it over on it, and I went through it last night with Michael, and he was going through, and he told me this morning he wants to have a couple more days to make sure everything's transitioned flawlessly.
So you guys who love the old website, you have a couple more days, apparently.
don't remind me. But no, that's, you know how I am with this now. I want it perfect for y'all. I want zero issues, zero problems, and I defer back to him. He's told me we need a couple more days on it. We need to make sure everything works 100%. Not 99%, not 98%, 100% on it. So we're going to make sure we do that. So it doesn't change anything right now. Everything's still.
You know, I'm glad we talked about this on the air. By the way, these shows are not scripted, in case you. People think that we actually plan.
There's no teleprompter. There's no script. There is nothing.
But I think,
we don't even talk much before the show.
So, Michael, I know you're watching the show this morning. So if we could please get the slides up on the Halloween show. I'd like to do that. Also, let's get the slides up on the Angel Wars.
You
got to
get in the Halloween. You got to find that Halloween.
I found it the other day.
Oh, you found it already?
In fact,
okay.
I took a picture of it. It's from like 3 years ago last time we aired it.
Oh, minimum. Yeah, well, the original one was 4 years ago.
Oh, no. That was when Doc Marquis was still alive. It was like 10 years, almost 10 years ago.
Okay.
It's
old. It.
But no, it's that good. I mean, I had another person who was all about Halloween, and they watched it. They said, I'll never do Halloween again. And because that thing will get your attention. And you always know if someone's coachable or not. If you say, well, let me send you a podcast, let you listen to what you think about Halloween.
Well, the thing about with Doc Marquis, if I'm not mistaken, he was involved in the occult and stuff before.
He was a witch, yeah.
And then he converted to Christianity. Yeah. He got saved by grace. Well, so it's not one of those speculatory things. He's not running around saying, well, I think this is what it's about.
That's what it is.
He was involved with a lot of stuff. And so.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, and you know, that I heard it, and you're a nanny the other day was watching some kids said this to me. She says, well, it is what it is. And I'm like, no, it is what God says it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when God says it is, it is. Oh, by the way, Jim Caviezel, I don't like this. Mel Gibson's recasting him in the sequel to The Passion of the Christ.
What do you mean, he's dropping them?
Yeah, because they said it's going to cost too much for the GI transfer because it's been 20 years now, and they said it's going to be too expensive to make him look younger.
Well, the only issue, and I could see this, I don't really care for that, but the only thing I could see is, this is going to be after Jesus is resurrected, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to look pretty doggone good, or he did.
Well, yeah.
He's going to look flawless. Yeah, he's going to have to look flawless.
Mel Gibson sparks outrage as he recasts Jesus and Mary Magdalene. I can understand Mary. Well, no, not really. They can GI both of them.
Yeah.
For long-awaited Passion of the Christ sequel. Basically, he's got after 20 years after the release of the blockbuster. You only watched that movie one time. It was so intense.
I've seen it once. It's rough.
Yeah,
I saw it in the movie theater.
Yeah, me too. And again, Mel Gibson now is set to return with a long-delayed follow-up film, The Resurrection of the Christ. While the original movie, which follows the final 12 hours of Jesus Christ's life, starring Jim Caviezel, who is 57 now, he was 37 then, and Monica Bellucci, 61 now, and Marilyn Magdalene, they're going to be recast due to the time gap. It made sense to recast the whole film. They would have had to do all of this CGI stuff and all this digital stuff, de-aging and all that, and would have been very costly. This movie's going to make so much money. I don't know why he did this.
That, I was just about to say that. It's not like it's not going to blow up. And the thing about it is everybody kind of, and it's not that, Jim Caviezel's anything related to Jesus, but in that film, he has a lot of notoriety for playing that role. So now they're going to cast him with a different, I don't know.
Well, I think it's a mistake. I really do. And it says Caviezel must be devastated. He's been talking about the film since 2012.
Yeah, I know.
And another added of the actor who's a devout Roman Catholic. I thought they were going to use Jim and just use CGI to make him look younger, someone else wrote. They should have kept Jim Caviezel. I agree with that. And maybe we can push enough pressure on Mel Gibson now with blowback on this that he'll change it back to Jim Caviezel.
Well, here's the issue. It's probably out the gate. They're not getting any – I guarantee you're not getting any type of Hollywood funding for this. This is all out of pocket and private investors into it.
Yeah, but Gibson's got made. He made $600 million on the first one. It says, should have kept Jim Caviezel. Wonder why he left the film. I don't think he left the film. Maybe the script was too intense for him or too demanding. But Caviezel returning would have made the film more powerful since you would have followed him from the first film. They couldn't cast someone who at least kind of looked like Jim Caviezel. Others wonder if the actor and Gibson had a falling out to prompt the decision.
That honestly sounds more accurate.
Yeah, because something doesn't seem right on all this.
There's nothing that can be more taxing than that first film on Jim Caviezel.
Mm.
I mean, he had multiple injuries in that film. I mean, I had to get stitches like five or six times. I mean, they're patching him up the whole movie. So,
there could have been because Caviezel's a really strong Roman Catholic, and so is Mel Gibson. And so they may have had a disagreement on some parts that they were doing in there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
pure speculation. I have no idea why he's doing this. But to me, the CGI thing doesn't make any sense because they do that so easily now.
Well, it's not. It's expensive, but it's not that expensive anymore.
It's not that expensive. Not if you're playing. So if they spend a few million dollars getting it done, they're going to make another $600-800 million.
Even if they got 40 or 50 million wrapped up in it. So
Mel, here's a suggestion to you. If the Sacklers and Purdue Pharma can make $100 billion selling OxyContin that's not addictive, okay? And they can pay $8 billion in fines and keep the other $92 billion. I think just maybe you can go ahead and pay for the CGI. Let's do a cost benefit.
That's a wild segue. Cost benefit analysis.
No, the reason I say that is Mel Gibson has really come out and gotten eviscerated for some of his comments about Jews.
He has. Yes.
He has. And so I was using that as a segue, Mel, since you're, I'm sure, not watching the show. I was using that as a segue because I'm using some person who's Jewish for you to use as a template on the ability to make money. Because let's look at it this way, Mel. Let's say you do $600 million again on this movie like you did on the last one, and you use Jim Caviezel. But let's say you don't want to spend the $2 million to get rid of Jim, and now let's say the movie does $200 million.
Yeah.
You just lost $400 million.
Bad ROI.
So maybe if you guys got in a fight about something, you need to sit down with him like a couple of grown-up adults.
This is all speculation, what he's talking about.
I'm having fun right now.
We have no idea. I got to get this other story. This is a huge story talking about, as far as companies, you're talking about Sackler family. GlaxoSmithKline, they're in a massive lawsuit now. So apparently the study published in the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry actually found that Paxil was neither safe nor effective in teens and young adults.
Causes suicide.
Right. So we saw this. However, internal documents have now shown that GSK hired a PR firm to ghostwrite the article, cherry-pick data, and recruit... What is that?
What is that noise?
We live?
Are we live? That's odd. We have chimes going off.
Yeah, something going on.
And my phone's turned off. You can't fuss with me.
My phone's turned off, too. But I'm about to grab the M4 out of the bedroom.
All right, so, we'll go back.
Anyways, back to where we're going. So they cherry-picked data, and then they recruited 20 co-authors to lend credibility. Then GlaxoSmithKline used the paper to market Paxil to doctors and tell them that it was not dangerous. It was not
addictive. Sounds like OxyContin.
Yeah, and it was safe and effective. They said the lawsuit filed last month against the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry and Elsevier published the original journal, demanded that the journal retract the articles. Is there something in that couch?
Maybe Van's phone. Van's been looking for his phone.
It's in the couch then, I bet. Anyways.
I bet Van's phone's in the couch.
Your friend's phone's in here. This is going to be an interesting show. Anyways, long story short, as I digress, they're in a massive lawsuit now because they almost did the exact same thing that Sackler did. They went to these doctors. They said Paxil's safe and effective. It's not addictive. There's no problems with it. You need to put teenagers on it as an antidepressant, and they did. And now there's been numerous cases of enormous side effects, including suicidal gestures that were dismissed in the clinical trials and never addressed in the paper. Suicidal thoughts and actions were one of the main side effects of the drug, and it was completely left out of the journal that they wrote.
You know, the thing about it is with suicide, people don't realize it. I had a friend of mine years ago die by suicide. And what I've learned about this, and his name was Rick. And the crazy part about it is that people don't realize when people commit suicide like this, it affects everything.
Especially imagine a young teen.
Oh my God, the parents
got to deal with it. Yeah,
and now the parents are going to be blame shifting each other. Why did we do this? Why did you do this? I told you not to do this. And a lot of this ends up in divorce.
Studies showed 329 serious safety risks, including suicidal behavior, in the original study. GlaxoSmith funded three more studies to test the safety and efficacy of it. That the drug failed to demonstrate efficacy in all three trials. So they went in and they had a PR firm write the first draft of the article talking about how great the drug was, ignored all the side effects, and cherry-picked any of the positive points that they could pick as low-hanging fruit, and then add it into the journal, and then get 20 other authors to basically co-sponsor it, and then use that journal to go to doctors and say, this drug's amazing, put teenagers on it. Completely lied, completely manipulated, and completely and totally fabricated a lot of the information.
I hope it bankrupts the company.
I hope it does, too. GlaxoSmithKline's been involved in a lot of different things. They're not as bad as Pfizer. Nobody's as bad as Pfizer. They have been involved in more class action lawsuits and more fines than any other pharmaceutical company in history combined. I mean, Pfizer's like as bad as it gets. And yet, oh, that's right. We just did $70 billion contract backdoor deal with them with Trump.
Was it 70 billion or 70 million?
70 billion.
Wow.
And we don't, it's a gigantic contract to bring the pharmaceutical manufacturing here. And
they were going to call it Trump Scripts or whatever.
Yeah, Trump RX. Going to go direct to consumer. And nobody knows anything about it still. It's completely and totally backdoor sealed. Freedom of Information Act got applied to it.
Nothing,
rejected it.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing. Pfizer Biotech, the company that brought the COVID shot to market from DARPA, nothing to see here. We're just going to ignore it. So, yeah, more...
Oh, by
the shadiness.
I've got some more evidence for Mel Gibson here.
Are we still on this?
Yeah, because I got a whole new article. I'm segueing. You got to give me a chance to segue.
All right, segue.
Okay, here's a segue. When Mel Gibson got stopped and he issued his anti-Semitic rants, okay?
You want to play the video?
No.
Body cam video?
No,
you want to play that?
No.
We'll segue to that.
That's too much. Too much. And he was drunk as a skunk.
He was.
He was drunk. And they say, that boy could drink. Now, whether he still drinks or not, I don't know.
I don't think he does. Last time I saw him on Joe Rogan, he said he'd been sober for multiple years.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
But here's the evidence, and here's the research, and here's the advice to Mel about drinking. And I've talked about this for years. No amount of alcohol is safe.
Well, that's a fact. It's ethanol.
According to this new study, it massively increases the risks of dementia.
Yeah.
You think, you mean I can't have a beer? Look, you do what you want to do. You know, I'm kind of the point where I don't like telling people what to do much. I still do it if I really like somebody. But I try to avoid that because people always get mad. You know, you could ask them, well, what do you think I should do? Where do you think I should go? Or what do you think I should do? And so I always ask them, and this is our little three-question thing. What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? You need to ask that to yourself. So here's the thing about the alcohol. What are you doing? What's it doing to me? It's killing brain cells. We know that does that.
It's toxic. It's a neurotoxin. There's no question about it.
Here's what the article says. No amount of alcohol is safe, at least for dementia. For years, the common wisdom in science was a little bit of alcohol wasn't bad and even beneficial. However, it has been found that even a little bit massively increases the risk of dementia. The finding comes from data from more than 550,000 people, Austin. This is a serious
big number.
Adults ages 56 to 72, as well as genetics information from 2.4 million study participants. It adds to the evidence that even small amounts of alcohol are harmful to your health, including massively increasing the risk of dementia, cancer, and disrupting sleep. Remember, alcohol increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. Now it's going to massively increase the risk of dementia. So, I mean, so is that something you really need to do? Now we can segue back over to our detox protocol. We could do that. You already did.
Yeah, because it works great.
If you're going to go out and do a bender, take this, but it's not going to help your brain.
No, it's not going to help the brain. But it is going to pull the toxins out. But it generally, you know, drinking on a regular basis, there's nothing positive about it. You're 100% right. But also, too, to segue this as well, there's also nothing positive about drinking high fructose corn syrup sodas every day either. I've talked to a lot of people where, you know, they're Christians, and they talk really bad about alcohol. I never drink. That's fantastic. But then they drink 4 or 5 Coca-Colas every single day. And they go, I don't know why I'm having health problems. I can't figure it out. I don't drink alcohol. Well, you have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is what you're building. And it's well-known directly related to high fructose corn syrup.
And then he goes, for a long time, we thought about the lie that basically said that have a drink a day is better for you, healthier for you. Geller himself would regularly have one drink a day because the data suggested, you're digging that couch where Van sits on the corner right there. I think he's right there. And it says, but the accumulating new evidence has caused him to avoid alcohol more than he used to. I think people should be aware that even a small amount of alcohol intake may have a negative cognitive effect down the line. However, experts say their goal is to give people the best data possible. And they go on. Even light drinking increases dementia risk. Previous studies generally relied on self-reported alcohol intake and repeatedly found a slight increase in dementia risk. But relying on self-reporting has a number of issues. And he goes, obviously a randomized controlled trial with this. Was it Van's phone?
I found your friend's phone.
He's been looking for that for last week.
Has he really?
I'm surprised he's not dead.
Found it.
Okay. Somebody's blowing it up.
Good battery.
Yeah. They found that increasing alcohol. Did you answer it?
No, I didn't answer.
I should have answered. Said it's with Van's phone. It is de-stressing. They found that increasing alcohol intake invariably increased dementia risk. Okay. That says, don't drink. It says, alcohol in the brain. It says, alcohol may reduce our brain's reserve, the biological hardware, making our brain more vulnerable to other pathogens. It sure does. It destroys brain cells by the millions. Alcohol quickly permeates the cells of our body within minutes of drinking, readily crossing the blood-brain barrier. In the brain, alcohol broadly amplifies neurotransmitters that inhibit neural activity, which dampens the parts of the frontal cortex and releases dopamine, which is why feeling buzz can be pleasant.
Yeah,
I didn't know it did that. While alcohol's acute effects are well studied, the question of what it does chronically is still relatively unknown. Alcohol, here we go. I'm going to stop reading after this because some of you guys are getting mad now. Alcohol is a neurotoxin, and drinking and alcohol basically are bad. Defined as a problematic pattern of alcohol use, it is associated with widespread shrinking of the brain, Austin, atrophy of the brain. Not linked to memory centers such as the hippocampus. In other words, alcohol-related dementia may be distinct from other types of Alzheimer's since it affects other brain regions. So what they're saying here is that Ted was right. Now, they didn't say that, but that's what I'm implying. I came up with the top 10 foods never to eat years ago. Austin remembers this.
Yep.
And when number 10 on my list was alcohol, and I said, people, you just got to avoid alcohol. You got to avoid it like the plague. And now they're coming out and saying that. Now, my brother, who's older than me, is as senile as a drunk bat. You know what he's doing. You know what he's talking about anymore. But he drank and drank and drank and drank and drank and drank. And I kept telling him when he was younger, you're going to destroy your brain, bud. And he has.
Well, and this is something that I helped put together for certain customers. I had some customers that used to drink really heavy, and they had a hard time staying off of it and also a hard time detoxing from it from a neurological standpoint and from a dopamine and serotonin standpoint. And this is what we put together with the B-complex, the omega-3, and the 5-HTP. It works really well because the 5-HTP helps out with serotonin production and dopamine. The omega-3 fats are really important and critical for the brain with the DHA. And the B-complex, because it's water-soluble B vitamin, it's really crucial for overall health of everything. I've talked about B-complex and B vitamins for years. You guys know it and you watch all the shows on it. And so this is a great way if you are drinking a lot or if you're trying to stop drinking or if you're trying to maintain your overall mental health. These three work together amazingly well. And I'll actually add some more content to this later today. But if you had a problem with it in the past, if you're working on a problem with it, these are three you've got to hammer all the time. And even if you're not an issue with drinking, this is also a great stack. If you're overstressed, you're running down, you're not feeling good, or just sometimes your mood's just rough, you're dealing with something, everything's coming at you in one day, this is a great stack you can really hammer and feed your brain and feed your body and really get your mood bumped back up. That's the mood booster stack.
Everybody every once in a while feels down.
Well, I hammered this the other day. Yeah. I had stuff at the office going on. I was like five different things all day that just hammered it. It's like every single thing kept going. And I went into the kitchen. I was like, I took like 4 B-complex, 3 5-HTP, and 4 omega-3. I mean, on empty stomach.
Well, no, it'll 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, and then I took a scoop of multiple powder, two more scoops of multiple powder. And sure enough, about 30, 40 minutes, I was like, all right, I got this. Let's push forward.
That reminds me, I'm going to take some multiple powder right now. Okay, I'm going to get up and get some water.
Get up.
Are you going to fuss again?
I didn't fuss. What a fuss. I don't fuss.
He's not at the studio. He's in the kitchen.
I never said that. Go get a drink.
You know he said something.
I didn't say that.
Send him an email.
Don't send me emails. I got enough emails. This is another article I want to cover. I'll switch to a gun. You'll like this. This is a gun story. California and its infinite insanity. They have now finalized the Responsible Gun Manufacturing Act bill, and Gavin Newsom has signed it. This bans all Glock handguns from any purchase, sale, or transfer starting in 2026. Any Glock or Glock style handguns are now going to be banned in California. Why, you say? Because criminals can allegedly turn them into full automatic Glocks, as I told you the other day, with certain switches you can manufacture. So now they're saying you can't buy a semi-automatic legal firearm because it has the ability one day if a criminal wants to make it full auto. Here's a news flash to all the insane communists in California. Every firearm can be made full auto if you want to do it illegally. You're breaking the law and it's a felony, and I highly recommend you don't do it. But you can do that to anything. It's not rocket science. It's just mechanics. But now they're saying this is another slope that California is doing to say we're going to ban pretty much the most popular handgun in the entire country because somebody could do something illegal and convert it one day possibly. So law-abiding citizens are not allowed to own it, purchase it, or transfer it now. This is insane. California is so far out of whack with their gun laws, I can't even comprehend it sometimes. The fact they can actually get away with their manipulation and what they've done now invading the Second Amendment. So guys in California, good luck with this one. I don't know what to tell you on it, but your representatives out there are just full-blown communists. I mean, there's no other way around it. And then on top of that now, article came out from Zero Hedge. Jamie Dimon says gold's going to easily go from 5,000 to 10,000. He goes, I'm not a gold buyer. It costs 4% to own. And he's talking about here. He said, but gold could easily go up 5,000 to 10,000 environments like this. He said, essentially because there is none. Now, somebody sent me an article yesterday. I was reading through it. And I'm going to read this to you guys yesterday because this is what was going on. I was asking him what's going on with the COMEX. I sent it yesterday. Let me see here. This was, an article on it. It said, with physical demand, this is what's going on with the London COMEX right now. With physical demand exceeding supply and rates to borrow silver surging beyond 100% to borrow on silver, the only resolution to present squeeze is higher prices, allowing the market to clear rote precious metal analysis, David Jensen. Jensen said the London Bullion Market Association, the world's most important trading hub to silver, and I quote, is effectively having a seizure and has been reduced to a state of lockup because there is not enough physical silver deliverable in the billions of dollars of spot contracts that they've entered into. The London market has ruptured to the point of dysfunctionality because the free flow to silver is too small to accommodate demand at present price. They don't have it. It doesn't exist. Yeah. We talked about this yesterday.
Great. I just made a mess. But here's the thing.
That was messy.
That was messy. This thing's leaking.
Well, you got to seal it. Anyways, I digress.
No, the problem, years ago, you know, we wouldn't give you any financial advice, but when silver was like $16 an ounce and the gold was like $800, we told you guys it's
a
pretty
just buy a little bit. You know, instead of going out to dinner for the weekend, buy 4 or 5 ounces of silver.
I've got a friend of mine. He's very wealthy. He owned a big insurance company. And about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, he asked me, what do you think I should do with all this money?
He said, I'll just cash.
Millions. I said, I'd put it all in gold.
Yeah.
You know what? He did.
You did. Like 1,200 an ounce.
No, it was like 800 an ounce.
Was that 800?
So now he's gone from like $2 million in the initial investment to like $8, $10 million now. He called me up the other day. He goes, dude, he says, I've been given advice before. This is ridiculous. I mean, thank you. And I'm like, well, you can at least take me to dinner.
Buy me a filet.
Whatever. Give me a steak.
Yeah, give me a good steak. Have buy you a Wagyu. So try one of those.
So the whole thing has jammed up now. Basically, with the silver market.
The London COMEX is in a meltdown right now because at the current price, they can't fulfill the silver contracts
that
people are pulling.
That's because silver is supposed to be $200 an ounce right now.
It should. That's exactly what's happening. And you got to remember, too, this is something that's happening right now. It's unprecedented, and I don't like it. But these AI data centers, these are all centers, and all the equipment they use with these AI systems,
they use silver.
An insane amount of silver in them. These cooling conductors, the equipment they use, everything uses an insane amount of silver.
Gold is better, but it's too expensive.
Gold's way better, but it's too expensive. So what's happened is now all these contractors are putting in bids for physical silver for these data centers, and they're going, wait a minute, I need 100 million ounces. Well, we don't have it. What do you mean you don't have it? It's $50 an ounce. I'll pay spot premium at 55, 58, 59, 60 an ounce. We still don't have it. And that's the issue you're running into now on it. That's why you're seeing this breakout suddenly on it.
By the way, segue. Pathetic. J.D. Vance is slammed for cheap reaction to racist texts as young Republicans spark Trump world crisis. You know,
Group chats are wild.
No, I had this article posted today on the website. And I didn't post it. Harrison put it up. And I told him, pull this down, number one. Number one, you don't know if any of it's true.
No.
That's number one. Number two, you get a bunch of drunk anybodies, and I'm assuming they may have been drinking a little bit, you know, posting stuff. People say stupid stuff. I mean, blacks can be racist. Whites can be racist. Hispanics can be real racist. Muslims, well, they hate everybody most of the time. And so you end up in a situation where people are saying all kinds of crazy stuff on these private group chats, then somebody decides that they're going to show it on the basically publish it. The problem is we don't even know if it was even real.
These are text messages.
That's right.
Okay, there is no context to these of who is actually behind it. You could sit there and say, "Well, this person had their phone." You have no idea who is actually behind the phone on this. And secondly, it's a group chat with a bunch of dudes ranting about stuff, and they're saying really out of pocket things. But quite frankly, I've been in a lot of group chats over the years. Everybody says some really stupid stuff in them.
Especially if they're drinking.
Well, I mean, like, one
well,
of them.
No, we got to give them an excuse now. Because sometimes, well, you know.
And they could have been. They're young Republicans. No, they could have been out for the weekend.
Here's what my mom said. Besoffenes Mund spricht, hits he lil grunt.
Yeah.
Well, that means that when you're drunk, you say things that you sometimes mean in your heart. You're going, yeah. No, these are the rantings of the German tavern owner. And you know, the crazy thing about it.
But
you know what? She was right. Here's why. Because it gives guys a little bit more chutzpah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Jewish term. That's Yiddish, by the way, so you know that I'm not going to say something bad about that. It's just Yiddish. But the thing, I was told that the other day.
Yeah.
But the thing that's interesting about this is that you find real quickly, you know, how people feel when they start getting drunk because they start. I'm going to tell you something to you. This is funny. I'm at back in February, March, I'm at some unbelievably horrible attraction over in Orlando. Somebody asked me to take them over there. This is like 7-8 months ago, and it was some kind of pirate show.
Yeah.
I do not recommend this show to anybody with more than two brain cells to rub together. It was probably the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life, and I ended up having to pay for the tickets. That really made me happy. And so we're sitting there in the middle of this fiasco of an attraction, and I said something to the lady that I was with who wanted me to take her to this thing, and some guy goes, "You're interrupting the dialogue." Give to me. Okay.
Okay. Your point.
And I'm like, there is no dialogue. They're singing. Okay. But I said, okay, I won't engage this guy because he was boozed up pretty heavy. And so afterwards, I walked up to him. You like this? I haven't told you this. And I said to you, I said to him, well, I can't tell you exactly what I said to him. It wasn't ugly, though. I said to him, I appreciate you doing that. I was being serious. Austin's funny. Every once in a while, I agree with him or something. He goes, oh, you're placating me. I said, no, I'm really not. Because I'm not placating him. Every once in a while, I will. But sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
And so I walked up to the guy. Now, I'm in a black T-shirt, which seems to be my normal wear.
That's what we always wear.
So I have very limited, you know, wardrobe. And so what happened is he looked at me kind of funny. I said, I really appreciate you saying something to me. I said, most guys wouldn't have done that. I'm glad that alpha males still exist. Yeah. I said, most guys are, well, I said, I didn't say this, but I said, most guys are just meow boys, but I didn't use meow. Use your own imagination. And he looked at me kind of funny. He got real sheepish because I'm a pretty big dude. He got kind of scared. I could see it in his eyes. I thought, I'm not trying to scare the dude. He didn't know what to do with me.
And later, you were placating him.
Oh, he didn't know what to do. He thought, I don't know what he thought. And so I see him in the bathroom. I go to the bathroom. Everybody's running to the bathroom after this unbelievably long piece of junk play thing we watched. And he's in the bathroom again. He's just like trying to hide from me. I thought to myself, this is funny. But the problem is, you say, why did you tell us that story? I know it was a terrible story. I got that, okay? But it's besoffenes munch bricht hipsy grunt. When a person gets drunk, they start getting brave.
Yeah,
and you see it in bars all the time.
And then throw it into a group chat where you're texting.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're not even on the phone.
And now
you're just texting. So
Marjorie Taylor Greene, now she has something to say about these people who are Republicans. And she says, tearing into her own party, she says, GOP men in Congress are weak. There you go. Unless they're drinking, I guess. Marjorie Taylor Greene, which blows out the brain, spent part of last week fielding angry texts from House Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana. She posted on social media that the Senate should abolish the 60-vote filibuster threshold so senators could end the government shutdown with just Republican votes. I agree with her, by the way. He told me they can't do it, and it's the math, Greene said. As with many things Johnson said these days, Greene disagreed. I sent him the article about them doing it yesterday, she said, referring to the Senate changing its own rules to confirm a large number of nominees on a single vote. I said they just did it, Johnson told reporters on Friday, that he called her and they had a good discussion and colleagues and friends. So what she's saying is that these Republican men basically are meow boys. They're weak. And now I will correct her on this, except for Senator Lindsey Graham with a purse.
He's a soft guy.
Yeah, he's a soft boy. Because he's definitely weak, okay? But I tell you what, though, when he gets with his Zionism stuff, he's pretty strong. He wants it that way.
Oh, yeah. I'm censoring myself right now. I can't stand that man.
He's the epitome of what human males should not be.
Just a fact.
But the point is, they're not weak in most cases. They're compromised.
I agree with that.
Where's the Epstein list?
That's exactly right. That's exactly
you know,
right.
I mean, that's the thing. How many of these guys, including the Democrats, you know, were on that airplane or went to, you know, to the island?
Island.
You know, and where'd the 1,000 girls go that they took down there? I mean, this went on for so long, there were 1,000 victims down there.
I remember, too, a lot of people haven't ever addressed this because this was stuff that got brought up and quickly shuttered. Les Wexner, I talked about this in detail, gave Epstein that six-story, $70 million compound mansion in New York.
I would love to see that.
It's like the biggest single residence in New York. It's insane. $72 million, I think, is what it's valued at. Les Wexner gave him that.
That's Victoria's Secret, Wexner.
That's Les Wexner, the one that ran Victoria's Secret, that was procuring the girls for Epstein, allegedly. There was a lot of rumors that he was also having huge parties at that place on a regular basis, and he was inviting a lot of people from Washington to come to these giant parties. Six or seven story, giant condo. And so there's a lot of those guys, in my opinion, what have been told to me, that were in D.C., especially a lot of younger guys, that went to those parties because they found out a lot of people were going to be there.
A lot of hot girls
are going to be there. And a lot of that stuff set them up for stuff they shouldn't have been involved in.
Well, I'm going to say it again, and this is something that's very, very important, especially if you're living locally or in Polk County or anywhere in this area. Be really careful for sting operations.
Oh, yeah. Polk County, they do it on purpose. They'll let you know that.
No. you know, and these are for you younger guys, right? You're going out with a girl who's 18, 19 years old, and she ain't 18 or 19. You think she's 18 or 19. She's 14 or 15, and she's wearing a ton of makeup. And right behind her is a doggone sheriff, you know, out of, you know, basically, and he's not in uniform. He's kind of just walking behind her like he's not really part of this thing, but he is. And if you go out with her and you start doing things with her, you're going to get arrested for child trafficking or for basically molestation or for statutory rape. I'm letting you know, in this area, it's gotten, so they're really cracking down on this.
As they should.
As they should.
But sometimes these young guys get caught up in stuff and they have no idea what's happening.
Well,
I'm not justifying it.
No, I'm not either.
That one guy I knew, great, he did a lot of car audio. Known back in the day, he was 17.
I remember
his girlfriend
this.
Was 15. Okay, I'm not advocating. I thought that was too much of a spread. She was turning 16, but he turned 18 first. He broke up with her, so he was technically 18 and she was 15. They've been dating. I think that gap's too big. She flagged him into her parents. Her parents called the sheriff's department. He got convicted. He did 5 years in a federal penitentiary and did another 10 years on probation with an ankle monitor. Still has an ankle monitor.
And now he's a convicted sex offender.
Convicted sex offender. And I'm not justifying anything that happened with that, but his entire life changed from a girl that he was dating for 6 months. So
guys,
be cautious of that.
So, guys, listen to me. If you go out with a girl who looks really, really young, you better pull the driver's license.
Yeah.
You better make sure it's legit. And you better really think through it, because a lot of times it's easy just to walk away. It's easier, listen to me, to have a five-second date.
Yeah.
Instead of 5 years in jail. You look too young, I got to go.
Yeah.
There you go. You look too young, I got to go.
Just
5 seconds and you're out and be done. And it's easier to do that than it is to deal with all of this stuff going on. Because let's think about it for a second. These Republicans now that are weak, how many of them went to that mansion in New York City?
Yeah.
Seven stories? Do you realize how lost you could get in that?
Well, no, that's the thing that people are talking about. That wasn't a place you just, Epstein lived there by himself.
No, here.
It's a giant party.
No, let's say seven stories high. It's like a building. So you say, we're going to take you up to the seventh floor. Nobody's up.
Yeah.
It's empty. Ooh. And we have this girl here. She's 25 years old. Okay, great. And the guy's going, this is great because I'm married, but I don't care. My wife's not here. Oh, don't act like that doesn't happen. It happens all the time. It's awful. So they take him up to the seventh floor, and he goes, oh, this place is like deserted. It ain't deserted. There's cameras in every wall.
That's exactly right.
You don't even realize. I mean, you're being videotaped, and you got guys in a video room making sure they use the best angles to find you. You think, well, they wouldn't do that. The heck they don't do that. They've already done that. And all of a sudden now you've got Mossad running a honeypot operation in a seven-story mansion in New York City, and you're on tape. And now you're going, oh, by the way, it's okay. She was 25. My wife will understand. She wasn't 25, dude. She was 13.
I stand corrected. 9 stories in total after it had been changed. 51,000 square feet.
51,000
square feet in 9 stories.
How many places could you get lost in? You're thinking, I'm private.
Dude, 51,000 square feet. I mean, you don't even, 9 stories. You don't even know where you're at half the time in that house. I guarantee you. I mean, the Biltmore Estates, much larger than that. If you've ever been to Biltmore Estates, really cool place up in North Carolina.
It's kind of satanic, though.
Well,
that's weird stuff.
Yeah,
that
but
Halloween,
I mean,
that Halloween. That Halloween.
Yeah, well, don't go to Halloween, but the architect there is insane.
No, the architecture's fantastic.
I love architectural stuff like that. And that house is just, it's incredible to look at and walk through. But if you don't go with a tour guide or something, you start wandering around. This is another floor, another wing, and you're like, where am I now? Oh, I'm in the vineyard. I don't even know what side of the property I'm on.
And that makes my point. That makes that person who gets taken up to the ninth floor in this deserted part of the house thinking, I'm safe. No one's going to see me.
No one's up here.
Yeah, cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they're videotaping everything. It's Mossad. I can't believe you saying it's Israel involved in all this. Well, I'm telling you, it was Mossad who works. They work for Israel. And by the way, why do you think they get everything they want through the House and through the Senate,
exactly,
and they always get
right.
their money? Yeah.
Not one single request for funds or military ops or any type of financial foreign aid has ever gotten denied.
Okay, you've gotten out of control now. We've got to stop talking about this.
Insulin resistance.
I feel my neck muscles coming out.
Insulin resistance is the silent driver for pancreatic cancer, not a new study.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. That's why I'm bringing it up. Horrible segue, but I had to change topics here because we're getting too much into that. Excess insulin overstimulates and inflames the pancreas.
Our listeners like it when we talk about this.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. All the ones
this is
did,
a health show.
All the ones who didn't like it, they saved up listening.
Health masters. So this is interesting. It says excess insulin overstimulates and inflames the pancreas cells, converting them to precancerous state. I never knew this in this study that came out now. This is another reason why the berberine with the cinnamon extract is such an important basically stack to be on if you're having issues with blood sugar. It says, insulin resistance is the body's inability to regulate blood sugar levels properly, maybe a silent killer, hunting the pancreas, inflaming and mutating its cells. They said research suggests the link between elevated insulin linked to poor diet and obesity and the development of pancreatic cancer, which is the third leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States. I didn't know it was the third leading cause. Third leading cause of cancer.
Pancreatic
cancer.
Well,
I know it'll kill you. My good friend, Nick, years ago, I mean, he was a machine. Black belt jujitsu. I mean, went over to
fight
Korea.
World,
oh yeah, fight over there. And man, he was so tough, but he went in house. Horrible pain.
He had his own still.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get into all that. But I mean, he had horrible pain inside. Finally, hospital.
He drank a lot of pain. Alcohol.
He went in and said, "You got stage 4 pancreatic cancer."
He was dead like 2 weeks.
He's like, okay. And he owned it. But I mean, he was dead in a couple weeks. Great guy, though. Great worker. Great fighter. But yeah, apparently, if pancreatic cancer goes, you're gone. There's much about it.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, when you have a problem like this with the pancreas, I mean, the doctors were taught in medical school, you leave the pancreas alone. Yeah. It does too much. All the digestive enzymes and all the stuff that it does, and the insulin, the pancreas is a big deal. And that's why for years now they've been trying to, you know, reformulate and rebuild the islands of Langerhans, which basically produce the insulin. And apparently if you overstimulate them now, they become pancreatic ductal adenocarcinoma, most common form. So, I mean, all of this stuff is back linked to what? High fructose corn syrup.
A lot of that's linked to that.
With glyphosate.
Yeah.
Remember, the corn that's been used for the high fructose corn syrup has been sprayed with glyphosate before harvest, the week before. So not only is it high fructose causing fatty liver disease, it's got a cancer-causing agent in it. You know, glyphosate's been linked to over a dozen cancers now, and they leave it on the market, Austin.
So listen, with rising obesity and diabetes worldwide, realization that elevated insulin can contribute to treatment failures for cancer, understanding insulin signaling and cancer progression is extremely critical. Unlike normal cells, cancer cells rely on glucose as a primary energy source. They can't metabolize fats. Restricting glucose intake to the diet can help starve and eliminate cancer cells. What did we just tell you the other day?
I just said it. Glucose,
sugar, alcohol, caffeine.
Remember that Tibetan monk said?
Those three. You've got to cut them out if you're dealing with this.
You got breast cancer. You can't do sugar, alcohol.
Well, because alcohol turns
or coffee.
Sugar. Turns to sugar. That's done. And then you got regular white sugar. You got candy. You got high fructose corn syrup. All that stuff has to get pulled out of your diet on here.
Oh, we got to say one thing.
Controlling blood sugar.
This is important. And this is when Jesus did his first miracle was turn water into wine. Okay. Now, the reality is back then, the wine alcohol content was extremely low. They used it more of a sterilant for the water to get the bacteria.
It was on the level of like beer. It was like 4 or 5%.
I doubt it was even that.
That's what I've read. I wasn't there. That's what I've read.
I've read it's like 1%. You know, but so, I mean, I'm not saying that's going to be healthy for you, but when Jesus makes it, I'm sure it was not going to cause all these problems. But the point is, this is a serious deal.
You got to remember too, man, and this is what so many people fail to realize. Even back then, say it was 4 or 5%, people weren't drinking high fructose corn syrup. They weren't eating glyphosate. They weren't using all these pharmaceutical drugs. They weren't drinking water with fluoride in them.
Well, they were. If they were drinking water with a tiny bit of alcohol, they were probably living longer anyhow.
It's probably
sterilizing it.
And everything was full organic.
Oh, yeah.
There was no certified USDA. Everything was as raw and as high nutrient density as it got back then.
But you know what's funny, too, with that whole thing with the alcohol back with the paradox study? You know, I knew this one author who came out as a Christian author, and he started promoting the drinking of wine for everybody. And I thought to myself, dude, what are you doing, man? People can't. First of all, about 10% of the population is genetically predisposed. When they start drinking, they become alcoholics, Austin.
Yep.
That's 10%. They've got it. It's in their DNA. They start really craving alcohol. And a lot of these hypoglycemics, they become alcoholics, and alcoholics are hypoglycemic almost every single case.
Switches over.
And so they're always looking for sugar, 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 sugar. By the way, Ford has cut the production of – no, you had some more – no, go back here.
No, I did. I was back in here.
Yeah, no, here.
Yeah, and this goes back into basically the maintain – things that we talk about all the time. The top three things to do to maintain insulin regulation: eat a balanced, nutritious diet, high fiber, high protein, low carbohydrates, digest slowly, choose healthy fats like avocados, eggs, monitor portion sizes. I don't know how many times I can tell you that one. Stop eating 2,000-calorie meals. just stop. There's nothing. Even if you're eating a decent meal that's not bad quality, eating these 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 calorie meals, it wrecks your digestive system. It puts too much stress on it. You always spike insulin through the roof, and your body cannot process all the food, so it stores it as body fat.
You know, how many times we've told everybody, if you want to weigh 180 pounds, you eat 1,800 calories a day, you eat 300 calories per day, yes, six times a day. With women, you want to weigh 120 pounds. And don't start on me about the 120. You're going to say, well, you said the guys can weigh 180. Now you say we got to weigh 120. I never said that. I just said if you want to weigh 120.
Guys. It's a baseline, down.
So that's 200 calorie meals per day. I realize
it's all based on bone density and height, too.
If you're 5 feet 10, you don't need to weigh 120.
No.
Okay? And, you know, just a newsflash here. But the reality is that when you basically eat too much food and too many calories, or you eat high glycemic calories, which push the sugar up in the body, then your body has to release the insulin, pushes the pancreas again.
That's what we're talking about.
And that causes that to be stored as body fat. That's why eating eggs first thing in the morning. I had my 3 eggs today.
I had mine.
Man, it stabilizes everything.
It really does. Right here says regular exercise benefits those with diabetes and who are at risk. It improves insulin sensitivity, making it easier to maintain healthy blood sugar. And exercise, light exercise after a meal, can also help manage blood sugar and also digestion. You've always heard this, and it's not a bad idea. And I've done it many times. After you eat dinner, go for a 5 or 10 minute walk. It's actually really healthy for you. A lot of people don't realize that. Go for a light walk and walk around and let your digestive tract process it. Because one of the worst things you can do, especially if you eat some massive meal, is go lay down on the couch and pass out. And most of the time that happens like with Thanksgiving.
Well, that's because of the
insulin.
No, tryptophan.
Tryptophan. What even do you eat turkey, though? But the insulin spike is really what it is.
Well, yeah.
Blood sugar goes up, the insulin crashes.
Now, by the way, if you want to be a sumo wrestler and you want to weigh 500 pounds, that's what they do. They have a huge meal and they go take a nap.
Sumo wrestler.
They do. That's true. They do. They like to take their naps after they eat.
They got to maintain 500 pounds.
Oh, yeah. They got to reserve calories.
Reserve calories.
Ford cuts production of even more vehicles after aluminum supply shock.
There you go.
There we go. The fallout from the Novelz aluminum mill fire in New York, which shut down the plant until next year, continues to worsen for Ford. The automaker is now preparing to scale back production of at least 5 models amid a tightening aluminum supply crunch. They shifted from steel to aluminum, by the way, because of weight for fuel mileage.
Fuel mileage is the EPA, and this is why a lot of the Ford trucks now, I was talking to a buddy the other day about it, going into this, and he was talking about how his older F-250, he had an 0560. And dually back in the day, and he said he could haul some of the heaviest stuff he wanted with it. He said he got a new Super Duty now, 250, single rear wheel though, but they're all aluminum bodies. He said if he doesn't have something loaded up on the trailer, he said the trailer's jumping all over the place. These trucks are too light for the power plants that are in them.
Oh, by the way, Ford is now preparing to build a new electric pickup at the Louisville plant.
This should be an abysmal failure again.
You know, Ford, you know.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Porsche. Porsche is pulling back everything now, the EV. Ferrari, did you watch Ferrari the other day?
No.
Ferrari stocks dropped. I don't even remember the number. I mean, they went a full red blood waterfall the other day because Ferrari said, we're going full electric in the 30s now. By 2030, everything with Ferrari is going full electric.
Nobody wants an electric Ferrari.
And everybody dumped their shares. Especially if you got that kind of, why do you want to go buy $500,000 Ferrari to listen to it buzz down the road?
Enzo Ferrari would be rolling in the grave.
He'd smack him in the face.
What's that new one that was like $700,000? It's worth like $300,000
now. The SF90.
Yeah.
It's not even electric. It's hybrid.
And it's still
none of the hybrids are holding together.
Okay, here's the thing. Let's talk about motorheads for a second. If you're a motorhead, I'm a motorhead, so is Austin, which means we love cars. Okay? I want to hear the car run.
Yeah.
I want to hear the engine. You know, that new Z06 Corvette with that flat crank engine, normally aspirated, putting out 670 horsepower. It sounds like a symphony when you start it up.
You should hear them with some of the F1 exhaust, because they've designed all kinds of different exhausts for them.
For the Z06.
Oh, yeah. They wipe out even the factory exhaust. They're loud. But exactly, you're in a car that it's part of the experience of the soul of the car, the motor. And I mean, the other day, I was doing something. I forgot what I was doing. I was Ubering back. I had to grab an Uber or something, and somebody picked me up in a Tesla.
It
was the most soulless ride I've had. I just got to turn some music finally. I was just
it's a golf cart.
It's the interior's crap, the specs crap, the quality
and
control
the back,
crap.
The back seats are so uncomfortable.
Everything about them is just trash. They're a golf cart to ride around. If you want one to drive around as a golf cart and you're going to drive 5 or 10 miles a day, whatever. Have fun with them. But don't buy them expecting resale value. And don't come at me and say, my Tesla Plaid will beat all these cars a quarter mile. Yeah, until the battery's out after 2 strips on the quarter.
Well,
I mean,
who cares, dude? What we do, we take the Tesla Plaid, we put it on a track.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
And we line it up with a 911 Turbo S with 640 horsepower.
I didn't have to do that. Put it against a GT3 RS on the track.
That's true.
There's no contest.
Well, the GT3 RS is one of the finest cars in the world.
Yeah,
so, okay, we put it on a GT3 RS, and the Tesla Plaid takes off. It's running 140 miles an hour, whatever it is, 150 miles an hour.
Might get a lap in.
Yeah, and it may beat a lap. And then after about 4 laps, your battery would be dead, and then you'll be saying the Porsches will be running circles around you. Or you do it with a Corvette ZR1 or a Corvette Z06. No matter what it is, the Tesla doesn't have the range at those high speeds. It sucks the battery down too fast. So what you do, say, I'm going to beat this Corvette. So you turn the AC off. You turn off all the electrics.
Oh, yeah, you turn everything on.
And you got to roll the windows down, which messes up the airflow. And now all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I'm hot and I'm sweating, but I'm in a Tesla. Great. By the way,
before I ran on Tesla, but yeah, that's why they drop so fast. That's why the exotic market with hybrids and electric.
So Ford is going to build another pickup truck. Well, that Lightning.
The Lightning's a failure. I mean, it doesn't. When they did the YouTube video, you guys can watch it, and we all laughed. Everybody in the trucks laughed. And these guys independently said, we're going to set it up doing a 20-foot trailer. Just 20-foot trailer.
It was an aluminum trailer.
Light trailer, go camping with it. 20-foot trailer. They said they had like 260-mile range when they started on the trip. They got 81 miles before it went into emergency limp mode. They had to stop at a Target. They couldn't fit in the charging station, so they had to unhook the trailer, plug the truck in for like an hour and a half just to get enough power to get back to their shop where they started from. 81 miles.
And you get one of those platinum ones like that, they're over $100,000. We drove one that day, remember? Because they told us, remember they said, we're going to give you a great deal.
Oh, yeah. Rebates and rebates and rebates and rebates. And I'm like.
And it was, what, $1,800 a month on the payment? I just laughed.
So what is this? What is this supposed to be? This is a joke?
No, I thought it was going to be $400 or $500 a month. That's a golf cart.
I pulled up, and the spec was like 90,000 sticker. I pulled up on CarGurus 2022, 2023s. They're listed for like 40, 41, 45.
If they can sell them for that.
That's what they're listed retail for through dealers. Not what they're selling for. Half price, 2 years. I'm like,
But you're going to make 80 miles on that trip.
Hey, but remember, you're doing your green energy. You're saving the planet. Keep doing that. We'll stay on the track. Keep racing.
Oh, by the way, Hamas is executing more collaborators now.
Of course, I knew Israel had to find a way to break the deal.
You know, it's the whole thing about it is you don't know if any of this stuff is true.
It's all theater.
Now another one's kind of interesting. It says that the problem that we have is that the Muslims don't want to assimilate. Okay, now let me stop for 1 second. You guys think I'm going to slam Muslims right now, but I'm really not going to.
No, they won't assimilate.
No, and here's the thing. It's their religion to bring in and convert people to become Muslims. And when they really become Muslims and they're really serious, they're praying 6-7 times a day, you know, facing Mecca on a prayer rug, they're pretty convicted, you know, and they don't want to basically, you know, become assimilated into a Christian nation. They want to stay Muslim. And for that, I've got to give them kudos. But here's the problem I've got with it. Just stay where you are.
Yeah, that's my whole point. I don't want to deal with you.
If it's that important, just stay where you are. By the way, here's another interesting article. We want our entitlements. In November, supposedly now, we're going to have to deal with this, you know, fear porn. The food stamp money will run out for 42 million very angry Americans.
How many times we've heard this?
I love the peer porn. Now Planet X now.
Well, no. See,
now then they've turned Planet X into Planet Y now. They're... X kind of wore out its welcome, Y now.
Just give it some time. It'll be Planet Z soon, and then we can start back over.
It'll be AA.
Planet AA. Yeah, I mean, I saw this article here, too, from Yahoo. They said, GOP sets the stage for extended shutdown. You know what this has shown me? Show me a lot. We have absolutely no need for big government at all.
Always.
This whole thing is so overbloated and so nonsensical.
Well, we need to have the FAA. Federal Air Announcement. We need to have air traffic control.
Oh, yeah.
We need that.
But this whole theater, let it go.
I guarantee you, we could get rid of 70% of federal employees. 70%. and it won't affect the country.
The problem is the United States government is the largest employer in the entire country.
I know.
So the problem is you lay off that many people, you're going to see recession.
Oh, yeah.
You see, hold on. This is why.
So, but the government makes nothing.
This is why when Elon Musk came in and they gave him weapons-free access to everything, he went in and said, why are we giving USAID $60 billion to give money all over the country to fund, gay porn comic books in Peru? Is this really necessary? And that's when he started cutting everything. He said, we need to audit Fort Knox. Where's all the gold at? I got a black eye from wrestling the other day, and apparently I'm not allowed here anymore. Now I'm being kicked out, and I'm not allowed to the White House. That was interesting.
Well, the crazy thing about this is that with Fort Knox, they knew the gold was going to go up when Elon said that. This whole thing with the gold going up to 4,000, now 5,000, now 10,000, according to Jamie Dimon, this has all been planned out.
That's true.
If you think any of this stuff is happening in a vacuum, you're wrong. It's all been planned out. And the guys that had the money, the ones who basically the real money, the trillionaire, billionaire guys, they've already gone into gold.
Well, the thing that's crazy about it,
long time.
So I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark the other day.
The first one. That's a good one.
Now, what's crazy about it is they're talking about it. The Ark is made out of solid gold, and they're constantly saying that the thing's orbiting. It's literally, you can feel the energy. The Ark of the Covenant is a whole other level of power.
There's a reason that they had wooden
sticks. They couldn't touch it. You could not touch it. Then those guys open it at the end, and Angel of Death comes out and wipes everyone out. They're gone. Now, here's the thing about it. Out of every single alloy in the universe they can make the Ark out of, what'd they make it out of? Solid gold.
God picked gold. And what's funny about it is a couple of times they went across a stream one time, so we ran this to grab it.
Yeah, touch it. Done.
Dead.
Couldn't touch it. Mm-hmm. Don't even look at it. They said, don't even look at it. Don't even look at it. Look at the ground. they did. They didn't make it out of platinum. They didn't make it out of palladium. They made it out of solid gold.
Well, and, it was interesting because, we had a friend of ours. He's passed away. And I guess I could quote him on this, Dr. Deagle. I like Dr. Deagle. I mean, some of the stuff he said I didn't agree with, but some of the stuff he said was pretty bright. He said that the reason that gold is so good is they use it for interstellar transfer.
For fuel.
For fuel. And he says that's why it's as precious to these fallen angels as it is to us.
Only thing they made the Ark of the Covenant out of was solid gold. Only alloy metal that's referenced in heaven on streets of gold.
Remember Cowboys and Aliens?
Oh, yeah.
That was all about gold.
I thought it was a weird movie when I first watched it, and then I watched it again. They're harvesting all the gold to use it as fuel. Yeah, so that's actually a wild movie. So interesting.
He said that gold is as precious to them as it is to us.
Yeah.
Let's think about that for a second. It doesn't corrode.
You can't get rid of it.
I mean, if you put it under salt water 500 years on a sunken galleon.
1,000 years. They find out. Still got the coins. Wipe them off. There he goes again. silver tarnishes, but silver is a lot cheaper to use as far as with all the different systems.
Yeah, but silver being used in all these industries, like you said.
Yeah.
Like all AI stuff,
why do you think? And it's not coincidence they're building like 500 AI mega data centers across the entire country, and suddenly now nobody can get a hold of silver?
Remember that. It's so funny, those 1,000 ingot bars.
No, yeah.
Pick that thing up.
Well, you got the forklift. They're all forklifts on a pallet. They're for transfers, and then they melt them
1,000-ounce ingots. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're used in industry. They actually
drop them into the smelters. Yep. And so what's crazy about it is now they're using all this stuff in this industry in AI, and now nobody can get a hold of these big silver contracts anymore through the COMEX, through Lakeland or London COMEX. So it's interesting. Interesting time to be alive. You can't be bored right now.
We're out of time.
Are we?
Yeah,
I appreciate you guys. Be sure to follow us on all the different platforms.
Did Elon really get a black eye?
Yeah, man, he got a black eye. He said he got it wrestling with his son, grappling on the floor, and then it was like,
why do they always have with black eyes?
I don't know. I'm not speculating. That's what he said. But yeah, and then suddenly, like a week later, he had this big falling out, and he said, well, the reason why you're not releasing the Epstein list is because, oh yeah, Trump's on it. Then all of a sudden, the tweet gets pulled down. He has not been invited back to the White House since at all. Period. Even when the tech guys were there with Zuckerberg and basically Bill Gates, Elon Musk wasn't there?
Don't you realize that we were the only – remember that comedian a few weeks ago who got pulled down for a couple of days?
Yeah.
What was his name? I forgot his name.
I know you're talking about – yeah.
Yeah. Remember, we were the only people that reported on the fact he talked about the Epstein list during his monologue.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they completely cut that part out. Mm-hmm. They did the whole thing about what he said about Charlie Kirk, which is out of pocket. But when he brought that Epstein thing up, it was like
done.
Gone.
That was – because remember, that 9-story penthouse –
yeah, and
a lot of
Epstein's in New
York. A lot of sick stuff happened up there, and they don't want you to know about it. Oh, by the way, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. We try to bring you much as much levity as we possibly can on the shows. Hope you enjoyed it today. But I love you guys, and I thank you for your support. If it wasn't for you taking care of Health Masters, we wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't, guys. And, appreciate the emails,
and
too.
Thank you for your prayers, but keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. And please continue to pray for us, because we're seeking God's will in our life, in all the areas of our life, and we're doing the best we can trying to help you guys. So just be here with us, and thank you for your support of the new website. It means the world to us.
Yes. Grab the vitamin C. It'll be on sale for the rest of the day, and then the D3 will be rolling up later on tonight. So stay up to date with us. Make sure you get up the articles we're putting up every day and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. My friends, will talk to you again.
And by the way, don't use the vitamin C if you want thin skin that bruises and tears really easily.